Luke chapter 18. The message today is cries for mercy from the Gospels. I will read you one passage from the Gospels and then two passages to corroborate what we have here in Paul's epistles. Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. And he spake also this parable unto certain who trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and set all others at naught. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be humbled, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now Ephesians 2. Verse 1. And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins, wherein ye once walked according to the course of this age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and his love toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we are thankful that just as the Philippian jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? You have an answer waiting for him. So, our God, when the hearts of men stirred by thy Spirit would cry out, what must I do to be saved? Thou hast given us abundant testimony in thy word, the way of salvation. We thank you for this. Our God, let us tell us that what you tell men is foolishness to all except those to whom you reveal truth and light. And because of this, we cry to thee that thy Spirit will work upon the hearts of those who are here today, that he will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and do for us what we of ourselves cannot do. Yet, our Father, thou hast told us that whereas you being God could do all things, you have said it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. So, Father, in foolishness we would preach this day Christ crucified. To us, our Father, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth. We are thankful that you tell us this. So by thy Spirit, help us to understand it, and having understood it, to embrace it to the salvation of our souls. Let us know our sins, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and empower and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There has never been one man saved who did not cry unto God from his heart or with his lips for mercy. And that means you as well. I think back when I was saved, and I do not remember the word mercy being spoken to God. But as I think over the prayer that I prayed to God, it was a cry for mercy. I will explain this, and we shall see that everyone of necessity must cry to God for mercy, for salvation. And if you say, I've never cried to God for mercy in any way, then I tell you, without fear of contradiction, you are not saved. The Lord Jesus spoke this parable in Luke 18 to distinguish two kinds of people. Those that tell God how good they are, and for those that cry unto God for mercy. So if you say, I've never cried to God for mercy, then evidently you are like that Pharisee, that self-righteous, complacent Pharisee that thought that there was no need in regards to his life to experience mercy from God. And instead of crying unto God for mercy, he displayed before God all his goodness. God, I thank you that I am not as other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not like this publican, this tax collector that is a traitor to his own country. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Mercy is missing. Nothing, no cry for mercy to God at all, but simply a display of all his goodness. He wants to be accepted for what he is in himself. And the Bible says that a man that tells God how good he is remains what he is and is changed not one whit. But think now. Here is an outcast from the nation of Israel who will not lift up his eyes to heaven but smites upon his breast and utters these words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Lord Jesus said, this man went home justified. He cried to God for mercy, and he went home justified. Now, you're in one of those categories. If you're saved, you have cried to God for mercy. From your heart, with your lips, somehow you have cast yourself upon God for his mercy. And if there has been any other way of salvation that seemed good to you, it is not acceptable to God. Religion? The man is in church. He's praying to God. He's doing what he should. There was morality in his life. But the Lord Jesus said he remained just as he was. And the only people who experience the salvation of God are those that confess themselves to be sinners and cry to God for mercy. Now, some of you know that you're sinners. But when have you called upon the name of the Lord? And some of you have called upon the name of the Lord, that you called upon the name of the Lord the way that Pharisee did, not confessing yourself to be a sinner. The only way to be saved is to call upon the name of the Lord as a sinner for mercy. And then the promise is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I purposely had the portion read in Romans 9 to put at rest any hope you might have in self-righteousness, any hope that you might have that God, because of your worth, might look down upon you and consider saving your soul. Listen to how plainly it speaks in Romans 9. God says this, I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I have compassion. You hear the two words that God uses in the saving of sinners, mercy and compassion. Does he use the word merit, worth? You say, those words do not issue from God's lips. No. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. And then, in case there might still be some hope of worth on your part, he would dash those hopes to the ground by saying, it is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. Now, if I tell you that there is mercy for all men, you would have every right to challenge that statement because of what was read to you from Romans chapter 9. It is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that hath mercy. And this is also what he says. He says, I will have mercy upon whom I have mercy. I will have compassion upon whom I have compassion. So then, whom he will, he pardoneth, and whom he will, he shows compassion. You say then, does this mean that mercy is the way of salvation? But God does not show mercy to all men, but only certain men? That is why you must read chapters 10 and 11 of Romans, along with chapter 9 of Romans. Because it says this. It says in Romans 11 that at one time Gentiles were disobedient. Now Jews are disobedient. And it says this. It says, God hath shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. God has shut up all unto disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. God has said, you are under a sentence of disobedience. You say, there was no hope. The reason that God has placed you under that sentence is that he might have mercy upon you. So what he says in Romans 9 is true. Whom God wills, he hardens, and whom God wills, he shows mercy to. But it says that God has reckoned all under disobedience, that he may have mercy upon all. And upon whom will God have mercy? He tells us that in chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the extent of God's mercy. Understand this, that the extent of God's mercy is equal to the extent of God's love. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if it's the love of God, and if it's the mercy of God, and if it's the grace of God, then it is not the worth or the merit of man. But it is God who imparts the grace, who bestows mercy. It is God who hearkens to the cry of the helpless sinner. For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. It is God who looks upon us and our weakness as we cry and has mercy upon us. For that reason, there should be in the heart of every man the assurance that though he is a sinner, that there is mercy from a merciful God to be bestowed upon sinners that call upon his name. But I must impress upon you that you must take the place of a sinner. Listen to what the psalmist says. He says, O God, hear my supplication, for in thy sight there is no man living that is righteous. Listen again. In thy sight there is no man living that is righteous. And listen to the psalmist again as he says this. He says, O Lord, if thou shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness for thee, that thou mayest be feared. If God should mark iniquities, who could stand? Nobody. And he says, come not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. The psalmist knows this. He says, no man living is righteous. Do not come into judgment with thy servant. But listen to that fool in Luke 18. God, I'm not as other men. He's not afraid to say, come into judgment with thy servant. Judge me, O God. Judge me. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. Why, I fast. I tithe. Come into judgment with me. But listen to the enlightened psalmist. O God, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight no man living is righteous. That is the attitude of the heart of man, knowing that there is no righteousness in him, but knowing at the same time that God has decreed all men under sin and disobedience that he might have mercy upon all. So the thing that you must learn, first of all, is that you are a sinner, and your only claim of hope upon God is that of the bestowal of his mercy. And next you must know that you, unworthy though you are, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. If you know those two things, then you are well on the way to salvation. You say, well, on the way to salvation? Yes, the Lord Jesus speaks of that. He spoke to that man who had understanding about what God wants in Mark 12. And when the man answered the Savior discreetly, the Savior said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But you are a million miles away if you're still thinking that there's some goodness in you, that God, because of what you are, will save you. But if you know that there is no goodness in you, that you know that in your flesh there dwelleth no good thing, and still you know that there is mercy with the Lord, you're not far from the kingdom of God. How close are you? You are this close, calling upon the name of the Lord. You're in God's presence, and you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how close you are. And if you utter that cry, God will save you. That is the hope that he sets forth in the Scripture. Now, I mentioned cries of the mercy from the Gospels. And the Gospel is full of cries for mercy. But I'm just dealing with one of them today. The one in Luke 18, because that is a specific cry for salvation. There are cries for other things, but this is a cry for salvation. And that is what I want to tell you about. And what is so fascinating is that in the Gospels, there are three words that are used that are translated mercy, and all of them are used before our Lord is petitioned to bestow some blessing upon the petitioner. Now, these are the words, because they are fascinating, and there are only three. There is the word helaskamai, that's the word that's used in Luke 18, and there is the word eleos, and there is the word oiktirmos. Now, the last two, let me tell you this much about them. You do not have to know anything about them other than they are words that are translated mercy. But they signify these thoughts: pity, compassion, kindness, mercy. Those are the words. And they are translated variously in your King James. Compassion, mercy, tenderness. So when you utter that word, you call upon God to exhibit his pity, his kindness, his compassion, his mercy. So it makes no difference. You may use any one of those words that you want to. as if someone would say, well, you haven't used this specific word in the original, and because you haven't used it, God will not save you. You may use any word you please to be saved. And if it even hints of a cry of mercy, God will save you. Not then. Think now. Here is one who cries to God, and he expects God to impart to him, to show toward him, pity, compassion, tenderness. You say, that is what can be found with God? I'm so glad that I know that for certain, for this reason. Moses wanted more than anything else to know the nature of God. And he said, oh God, he said, show me your ways. I want to know you. And God said, then I will reveal myself to you. And he hid Moses in the rock, and he said, now when I pass by, I'll let my back be facing you. And then I will let you look upon my back, but you cannot see my face. And he said, and this is what I will do. I will with my own lips tell you what I am. And he did that. And as God passed by, he said, the Lord, a God merciful and loving and abundant in tenderness and compassion, love and truth. Now, listen to that. This is what God says of himself. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth. That's what God says concerning himself. Forgiving iniquity for thousands. That's what God says he is. If God has told you what he is, are you able to believe it? You say, I must. Then a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness and truth, forgiving thousands. That is why you can go to God with assurance that you will find mercy with the Lord, because God is merciful. And that is what God wants you to understand. But if God is merciful and if God is forgiving, then salvation is on the basis of the mercy of God, not the merit of man. If it is the mercy of God, then it is not your worth, but it is God's mercy. Now, I've told you that God says that he is merciful. I want you to understand those closest to him, those greatest representatives that God will display before mankind, because God likes to do that. He says to Satan in heaven, he said, have you considered my servant Job, that there was none like him in the earth? God loves to take those that are his and display them to man. And speaking of that, I will tell you about those that God displays. Here is Abraham. And the Jews had set their hope on Abraham. And they had set their hope on Moses. And Paul said, then I will use these men and give you God's illustrations of salvation from these. Abraham, he quotes from Genesis 17, where it says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. Then, justification for Abraham was on the basis of faith. Justification by faith, yes. Abraham had nothing to boast before God, because it says Abraham believed God, and God reckoned his faith unto him for righteousness. Well, if God reckoned faith for righteousness, then it was not Abraham's worth that God reckoned righteousness to him. Listen to David. David, a man after God's heart. David in Psalm 32 says this, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Now think, David says, blessed is the man whose trespasses are forgiven. If a man's trespasses have been forgiven, then he's a sinner. And he cries to God for forgiveness. His trespasses are forgiven. If a man says, my sins are covered, he's not pleading his righteousness, but he is confessing his sins. He says, my sins are covered. And he says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. So David says, the only thing that I can talk about is my iniquity, my trespass, my sin. And God has mercy on me. He does not impute to me my sin and my iniquity. He does not reckon unto me sin. Well, therefore, it must be the mercy of God. David says, I have been forgiven. Let's consider Paul. Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so here is Paul, God's chief apostle. And how were you saved on that road to Damascus? He says, I am the chief of sinners. That is how I was saved. So, if you look at God's word, you will see that all of those who are acceptable in his sight have been acceptable on the basis of mercy. And if you use the word mercy, you can also use the word love, and you can use the word grace, because all of them convey the same thought. It is something that God does for men that is unattainable of themselves. Most of the time, if I'm asked, how is a man saved? I will say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice, for by grace are you saved through faith. But before we get to verse 8, he says in verse 4 that God, who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. Rich in mercy made us alive. Rich in mercy, yes. And then grace. God is rich in mercy, and God is rich in grace. And God is love. That's one of the descriptions of God. God is love. So, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here is a love that gives. Here is grace that bestows. And here is mercy that withholds. And that is the basic difference between the two. Was it the mercy of God that saved me, or the grace of God that saved me? Well, the mercy of God is that which withholds from me the judgment I deserve. And the grace of God is that which bestows upon me the salvation that I did not deserve. It makes no difference how you are saved. If it's the grace of God giving me something that I do not deserve, if it's the mercy of God withholding from me the judgment that I do deserve, it makes no difference. It is God in his mercy, in his grace, in his love that saves sinners, and that's the important thing. And it must be impressed upon you. Then, if I go to God, I go without any pleading of worth or merit or righteousness on my part. I go to a God who is love. I go to a God who describes himself as merciful, who is rich in mercy. And I go to a God who has saved the chief of sinners. And if he saved the chief of sinners, he will save me. And so that is the hope of every sinner. Not the hope that somehow God will look into your heart and find a good thing and he will accept you, but that God, having looked into your heart, has found no good thing. And Paul says, there is in my flesh no good thing. And just as Ecclesiastes says, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But you can have the assurance that with all of these condemnations that God bestows upon you that are describing what you are by nature and by practice, you can still go to God with full assurance and cry unto him for mercy, and he will hearken to your cry. The assurance is this, that God has promised it in his word, that God's Son has illustrated it in the parable of that publican who said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Apostle Paul has set forth himself as a chief of sinners, and God has saved him. So let me think of this. If a man who is the chief of sinners has approached God and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and God has saved the chief of sinners, as great a sinner as I am, I'm not as great as Paul, and if God has saved the greatest, if I go to God, then God, of necessity, must save me. If there were a man that God would not save, that God could not save, I would not extend hope. But it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in the last book of the Bible, it says this, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and he that heareth, let him come. And he that thirsteth, let him come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. This is what God is doing. He is giving an invitation to sinners to come and enjoy the mercy, the grace, the love that are manifested in Christ Jesus the Lord. And that is what God is doing for you this morning. He is extending his hands as Christ did. And he says, come unto me all ye that labor, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Therefore, if any man, perchance, ever was in the presence of God and made this statement, God, I wanted to come to you, but I knew that you would not bestow mercy upon me. You are without excuse, because I've given you abundance of references showing that God is rich in mercy. And God has invited you to come. And for you to say, God, I did not come because I knew had I come, you would have rejected me. God has rejected no one. And this is one of the joys and rewards of reading every word in the Scripture that is translated mercy, is that you know what God will do when men cry unto him for mercy. And I've looked at every reference in the Word of God for sinners that cry to God for mercy in our Savior's life, and not one of them was refused, not one. Every one of them cried to him for mercy. Therefore, they cast upon him their unworthy souls. They had no claim upon him, but they cast themselves upon his mercy. And every sinner that cried to him for mercy had that request granted. Blind men came to Christ and cried for mercy. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon us. And the blind eyes were opened. And 10 lepers saw the Lord Jesus afar off. And they lifted up their voice and they cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And he healed their leprosy. And a father who had a son that was demon-possessed, and a woman who had a daughter that was demon-possessed, came to the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. And the Lord Jesus had mercy upon them. And this woman, and this is what I would impress upon you, in case there may be one who says, well, I think that only those that are the elect can expect mercy from God. The Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord Jesus, and she said, Lord, have mercy upon me. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. And the Lord Jesus said nothing to her. And she kept crying and crying and crying. And finally the Lord Jesus said, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, that is true, Lord, because even the dogs under the table, the little dogs, eat the master's crumbs. And the Lord Jesus said, woman, great is your faith. You have what you want. Go your way. Here is one who had no claim upon him. At least the Jews had a covenant with God that he would bestow mercy upon them. The Syrophoenician had no claim upon him. And he told her that she had no claim. And those who had no claim upon him still received mercy of the Lord. And this is even greater than that. There was one named Legion who did not cry for mercy and yet experienced the mercy of Christ. You say, well, everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. I tell you that God knows the inclination of the heart. He knows that if one that is possessed by Satan, if his lips could speak and would cry for mercy, then he would answer that cry as well. How could one who has lost his own identity, who when he is asked, what is your name? He says, my name is Legion, whereas his name may have been John or Zacharias. He said, my name is Legion. But Christ knows that that heart, once it is exorcised of demons, that heart would cry to him for mercy, and Christ would bestow that mercy. And I know that mercy was bestowed without being asked, because the Lord Jesus, when that man came to him and said, Lord, let me go with you, the Savior said, no, you are not to go with me. You go home and tell your friends how great things God hath done for thee and how he had mercy upon you. Do you see? The Lord Jesus said, what I've done for you is an act of mercy. He said, mercy. So is there one who desires mercy of the Lord? Then you can have great confidence that if you go to the presence of God, as you are in all of your vileness and in all your sins, and call upon him, he will bestow mercy upon you. So lay hold on that promise of God and say to God, I call upon you as a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and go home today justified. Time is gone. Let us pray.